This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4104 for Thursday, the 25th of April, 2024. Today's show is entitled Introduction to JQ Part 1. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 19 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is the JSON data format and using the JQ utility to process it.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio. Today I've got a new show which is the first in what I see as a fairly short series. And what I want to look at in this series is the JSON data format. And in particular, a command line tool called JQ, which you can use to process such data. There's loads and loads of ways of processing JSON, creating it, reading it, manipulating it, rewriting it, and all that type of thing. Mainly it's in languages like Java, JavaScript, Python, and Perl, for that matter. And but I won't be looking at those. I'll just be looking at the way that JSON is put together. It's pretty simple, I hope you'll find, anyway. And spending most of the time talking about JQ. I assume JQ stands for JSON Query, but I've not actually found a reference to it. But if I do, I'll put it in the notes. The command is described on its GitHub page, which I've linked in the notes. And here's its description. JQ is a lightweight and flexible command line JSON processor. Pretty much what I've said. There's another longer definition following. JQ is like SED for JSON data. You can use it to slice and filter and map and transform structured data with the same ease that SED, AUK, grep and friends let you play with text. So hopefully that gives you a flavour of what it is. Slightly confusing to me anyway is that JQ is the tool, that's what you type on the command line, but it uses a command language, a programming language, which is very powerful. Takes a little bit of getting used to, I find. Anyway, I'm hoping to introduce it to you so you don't find it too much of a shock. But it's very, very powerful and useful. But its name is also JQ. So JQ tends to be written as .JQ in the documentation for the command and JQ for the programming language. I don't do much in the way of programming language episodes. I've done AUK and SED and things, but not really programming languages. But this one is quite interesting as a type of language that you might find is quite fun to use. I've got into it a lot more than I thought I would from starting off with it several years ago. So we're going to look first at what JSON is. JSON is the way you see it written, and it stands for JavaScript Object Notation. There's a Wikipedia page for it, of course, which is linked in the notes. And there it states, JSON is an open standard file format and data interchange format that uses human-readable text to store and transmit data objects consisting of attribute-value pairs and arrays or other serializable values. It's a common data format with diverse uses in electronic data interchange, including that of web applications with servers. It's used a lot. You'll probably bump into it in your travels around the internet. A lot of queries that you can do on web pages will return you JSON data. There's a definition, RFC 8259. That's where you would find its formal definition. It's pretty simple, I would say, in principle, if you've seen this type of thing before, anyway. So what I've done is I've prepared a list of the basic data types of JSON, which I took from the Wikipedia page and truncated a bit. So the things you can find in JSON data is a number, so assigned decimal number that can be fractional and may use exponential notation, but you can't include non-numbers. Next one is a string. That's a sequence of zero or more and Unicode characters, they emphasize, because you can put anything in there. You can put the weird symbols that you find in the Unicode character sets, which is great. That's all been dealt with from pretty much day one, I think, whereas other data formats have had to add all of that as Unicode has developed. strings have to be delimited with double quotation marks. They do have a backslash escaping syntax. We'll deal with these in detail later on in the series. Next one is Boolean. That's either of the values or the words, true or false. I'm not sure if they're case sensitive. They're really written out as lowercase true, lowercase false. Then there's an array. It's an ordered list of zero or more elements, each of which may be of any type. So you can have an array of numbers, of booleans, of strings, or of mixed items. So each of which may be of any type. Arrays use square bracket notation with comma-separated elements. So a list of numbers would be square bracket, 1, 2, 3, 4, with commas in between. Close square bracket. And other things like booleans and strings would have to conform to their syntaxes. The next one, penultimate one really, is an object. Now, an object is a collection of name-value pairs where the names, which are also called keys, are strings. So that means they have to be double-quoted. Objects are delimited with curly brackets or braces and use commas to separate each pair, while within each pair, the colon character separates the key or name from its value. And we'll be looking at these in a bit more detail. Then the last one is the word null, N-U-L-L, which is an empty value, but you can put it in there to say, this, we haven't got a value for this at the moment. Could just omit the thing, but in many cases it's more useful to have a null, meaning we'll get a number later, or a value later, but we haven't got one yet. So I've listed the examples of the data types in the order I listed their brief definitions. So I've got 42, that's a number. I've got quotes HPR, which is a string. I've got the word true, which is a boolean. And I've got an array, which is in square brackets, quotes hacker, comma, quotes public, comma, quotes radio, close square bracket. So that's obviously an array of three strings. And then I've got in curly brackets, or braces, a couple of items. So there's the name and value pairs. The first pair is quotes first name, double quotes of course, colon, quotes John, comma, double quotes all the time. And then after the comma, quotes last name, double quote, colon, and then in quote, Doe. So we've got a first name and a last name label or key, and we've got the values John and Doe. So that's an object. The last one is just the word null, which we've already really looked at. So JQ, going on to JQ, is pretty much available across the board, I believe. I've not dug into all of the different variants of it, but it's available for Unix, Linux, Windows, Mac OS, and so forth. And and you can also get it in the source form and build it yourself if you want to, of course. I've given a link to the download page as part of the project, which gives you loads of details about where to get different versions of it. So on Debian and Debian-derived releases of Linux, you would just do something like sudo space apt space install space jq, and that would be installed. So it's in pretty much all repositories, I believe. So there's a lot of documentation for jq. It's really good, but it's documented very, very well, and I've given a link to the manual. There's a tutorial, which is just a single page, but I think the manual is the place to go to really learn about it. So I'm going to be referring to it as we travel through this. I'm not going to be covering it all, you'll be relieved to know, but I will hope that you will get enough from this series to be able to go to the manual and find out more and carry on from where I leave you. The manual is really good in that it has examples, which are little pop-up sections, which when you click on them, open up to show JQ examples with test data in and the results of processing it. So I've certainly learned a ton from that. There's also loads of advice available out there on the usual places, which Google searches will find for you. Now, what prompted me to start on this down this road? It's been on my to-do list for a while to talk about this, because it took me a long while to understand it and find the power of it. I'm sure you aren't as dense as I am, but still, I thought it'd be useful to share what I've learned. But one of the things that prompted me to get on with it now is that Ken has prepared a statistics page on the website, on the HBR website, under https://hub.hackerpublicradio.org. The final bit is stats.json, J-S-O-N, all in lowercase. So you can use the link. You find it on the calendar page, which is linked, and if you get the go at the bottom where it says workflow, which again is linked, and you can click on it and bam, you will get a blob of JSON. And I'm going to use that bit in this series just as a reference, really, so you can have a bit of JSON to look at. It's included in the notes here. If you click on it from a browser, click on that link from a browser, then in my experience anyway, and I haven't tried every browser on the planet, but I tried a few, it opens up in the browser, and the browser tends to format it quite nicely for you. Because there's no definition of how JSON has to be formatted. You know, your strings have got to start with an open quote, a double quote, and then have text, and then close quote. Your objects have got to start with a curly bracket, blah, blah, blah. But where they are, where the new lines are, how they're indented, all that stuff is not defined, but it makes it easier if it's nicely laid out and indented and all that stuff. So I think most browsers tend to do that for you. Certainly the ones I've tried do, and they even color code it and stuff. What I'm talking about here is how you could do this from the command line. So I've given an example of using the curl utility. I can't remember what curl stands for. The URL in it means a universal resource locator thingy that you can use to as a link. Curl space hyphen s will download stuff from a link and will by default display it to you on the terminal. And obviously the link I'm using here is the one I mentioned earlier on, which ends in stats.json. Pipe that into JQ, assuming you've got it installed, etc. JQ is then followed by a single full stop period enclosed in quotes. I'll talk a bit more about this. That's called a filter. Filters are what we're going to be spending most of our time on, but that's like the sort of the basic filter. So what it will do is simply take whatever JQ gets on its input, will process it, read it, understand it, and validate it, I think. I've not tried the stuff which is junk, see what happens, but I'm sure it will object. But it will validate it, and then it will display it, print it. And whatever, unless you tell it not to, it will format it in a sort of pretty printed way. I'm piping that into the NL command, which stands for number lines. Number lines, where I say W3, which means the number is to be of width 3, and then it's hyphen S, and then two spaces in quotes, means put two spaces after the number, just keep it apart from the texture numbering. I'm doing this because I'm going to refer to the numbers in this block of JSON in a minute. So yeah, curl is a useful way of doing this. There are other ways. You can use wget, you can do other things. But this is what I tend to use. If you don't have it installed, I strongly recommend you install it. But you do you. So here's the listing with the numbers. And I just thought it would be useful to talk about what it is. Obviously, I haven't said exactly what this file is, but this is the latest version of the HBR statistics that Ken's put together in a JSON format, where before it was a sort of plain text format. Plain text could be parsed to get values out of it, but it wasn't straightforward. Whereas this is a format which is recognized by many, many libraries and programming languages, and of course by JQ. So you can use some sort of magic to find the relevant elements that you want and display them. Now, Mr. X did a show recently, whose number I've forgotten just for the moment, but I'll put it in the notes, where he was looking for the next free slot number. Not number, but next free value, anyway. So you will see, if you look through the stuff there, there's a field called, with the label next free, with an underscore, followed by 8. But that's inside an object called slot. So that tells you how many shows there are to go before the next free slot. In other words, we've only got 8 at this moment in the, or at the moment I captured this anyway, which wasn't today necessarily, but certainly won't be the time you're listening to this, but there's only eight shows to be heard before we fall off a cliff. So let's look at the general layout of this thing, just very briefly. What we have here is a bunch of nested JSON objects. Nested means things inside the other, in another, one thing inside of another, like the Russian dolls thing. The opening brace on the first line and the closing brace on the last line, number 43, they define the whole thing as an object, a JSON object. And then within it, we have a number, just a standalone number. Because it's an object, things within it have to be in the format key colon value. So we've got the key is stat generated, and the value is a long number. It's actually the number of seconds since the epoch, I think. So you can actually convert that into a date and time if you wish. Though it's common to store such things as seconds since epoch, because they're pretty easy to process. Okay, and then the next thing is an object called age, which is from lines 3 to 18. The reason I'm numbering the lines here and telling you about them is because if your eyes are anything like mine, it's really hard to see the closing bracket of that matches the opening bracket. So I'm just doing this to make it easier. So 3 to 18 is the object called age. And you'll see that there's a whole bunch of things inside there, which I'm not going to go into detail about, but there's two strings with dates, and there's two objects. So you can keep going down this tunnel, down this rabbit hole, as much as you want to, really, as much as is relevant, anyway. There's an object called shows on lines 19 to 25, hosts on line 26. That's a number with a key. Key is hosts. Then we've got an object called slot, which spans lines 27 to 30. We've got one called workflow, which is 31 to 34. And we've got one called queue, which is 35 to 42. And that's really it. Once you realize the sort of layout of the thing and what you can expect, then it's pretty straightforward, actually. I think anyway, it's compared to other data formats, which have been popular and probably still are, this is a really nice and easy one to deal with. I've certainly had experiences with predecessor of JSON, which is actually related, and it's called YAML, Y-A-M-L, and also XML. I've done a bit of work in XML. I really don't like XML. Too many tags and stuff. And YAML is extremely fussy about indentation, and it's like the sort of Python of data formats. This one doesn't care about where things are on the line, but they have to be syntactically correct. Quoted colons in the right places, commas in the right places, curly brackets and all that good stuff. So we'll look at ways in which you can take this data and reformat and find out things, or indeed pick out that one value that Mr. X was looking for in his Python script. We'll be doing that as we proceed. So in the next episode, I'm planning to just look at the options that JQ can use. There are a few that will be relevant next time, I think. Most will get revealed as they become appropriate to what we're dealing with. There's not much point in just going through a great list of options, because if you're anything like me, you'll forget them by the time you need them. And then we're going to start looking at JQ filters, which is, as I said, where most of this series of shows is going to take us. And I hope you found that useful, and speak to you next time. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.